Now I'm beyond honored to introduce our next speaker. Our next speaker doesn't really need an introduction. Our next speaker is Dr. Aziz Behimani, who is an orthopedic surgeon who has just returned from Gaza over 2 weeks ago after embarking on a medical mission for approximately 2 weeks. He was doing God's work on the ground, saving the people of Gaza. Please, please give a round of applause to Dr. Aziz Behimani.
I have recently returned from Gaza, and I really have two messages from there. The first is what you're doing is amazing, right? What every single one of you is doing is having an impact. It is affecting them there. It is affecting change, and it's something that we've got to keep doing. The second is that what you see on your social media reels, what you're hearing is true. The atrocities that we're seeing are actually real. And in fact, it's much worse than real. It's truly the Hunger Games on steroids. You basically enter Gaza. Okay. You basically enter Gaza through large prison gates. There's 50-foot prison walls that surround you on all sides and make sure you're part of the games. There's constant drones overhead. There's bombs going off. There's people getting massacred every day. Every single day, I would see at least 2 to 3 children coming in dead on arrival. Every single day, I would see 1 or 2 kids with their limbs blown off that would require amputations. Look, the city, when you drive through the city, it's in complete ruins. It does look like a dystopian film. There's words that don't describe it. There's 30 minutes of driving with every single building being flattened. Not one single building standing. Every single person I met, whether it was a patient, whether it was a staff member like a nurse or a doctor, or anyone on the street, every single person had been dispossessed, was living homeless in a tent with very little. And if they were really lucky, they were living in an overcrowded building. That was like amazing if they got to do that. They're all hungry. There are some people that are starving, some people that are severely malnourished, but no one is full. Every single person is hungry. It's dark, there's no electricity, there's no running water, there's no sewerage, there's scanty internet. It just doesn't make sense. Then it gets worse, because then there's no work, right? And there's no education, there's no institutions. Not only do you not have work, we're still, the place that you work no longer exists. Your kids don't have a school, there's no playgrounds, and in fact, while I was there, a playground that was about 700 meters from the hospital got bombed. 15 kids died that day. If you're a university student, your university no longer stands. Your academic record doesn't exist. This isn't collateral damage. This is systematic. It's purposeful. This is a powerful colonial settler occupation doing what it does best. This is genocide. There's nothing else for it. Now, I'm gonna tell you, it does seem hopeless, right? And I don't know how much more they can endure. I really don't. And I tell you right now that I stand before you with a little bit of hope and standing a little bit firm, not because of what I saw, because what I saw would break me and break anyone. But the people I met, oh my God, these are amazing people. These people are resilient. You meet their gaze and they smile at you. They have clung onto their humanity. They are still gracious. They are still trying to help each other. They're still trying to look after each other. Whereas any other person, I think if I was in the games, I'd be looking after myself and nobody else. But here they are, still trying to help each other. It's incredible. I saw people with nothing and literally who are starving, and they'd just been delivered some food from a Tuskia, which is like a soup kitchen. And then they'd look at me and go, do you want some? Like, they were willing to share what they didn't even have. It's crazy. Truthfully, it did give me life and it filled me with hope. And truly, I would be a wreck otherwise. And it's probably why my heart's still in Gaza. You know, we say, in our thousands, in our millions, we are all Palestinians. You know, I'd add to that, oh God, make us all Palestinians. Because if it means that resilience, that hope, that strength, that will courage to continue, that's what we all need. But I've also got hope, because I think we're having an impact. We're changing the tide. And what I kind of realized, and it dawned upon me, that the biggest existential threat to Israel, to the occupation, is not another war or armed struggle or a state. It's actually the truth. All we have to do is get the truth out there. And this ends. The truth will bring them down. It's going to tear down these walls. This is why you coming out is actually so important, because you are having an impact. But you're having an impact in two ways. Because I can tell you, when I met Palestinians, when I showed them photos of our protests, told them that we were there, the smiles on their faces, it gave them courage. It helped with their resilience. It was us being their lifeline. But you even hear it on social media. You hear Bassan saying, finally, our shouts are louder than the bombs. We're giving her hope. We're giving them hope. So we've got to continue. But the second, and this is probably the most important, that the truth and us standing up and putting our voice out there is the most powerful weapon against the status quo, against the occupation. So we've got to continue. So I say to you, stay strong, keep doing what you're doing, stay strong, because it's having an effect, it's giving them hope, it is their lifeline, they deserve it. But more importantly, our humanity demands it. Thank you.